We're thankful for everyone that's here this morning, and we trust you come seeking a blessing of the Lord this morning. He's got one for you. Extended nursery is going to dismiss to go down in the back. The kids want to go down, they go down. If they want to stay, they can stay. They don't bother me none at all. We're thankful for you being here this morning. Trust you've come looking to the Lord for a blessing. I tell you what, we had a great blessing, a great day yesterday, and men that went got to spend some time together, just something for the men to do that wanted to go. And we had a great time, just a great time of fellowship. Even though we were on two separate boats, we could still fellowship, sending pictures back and forth, aggravating one another and everything else. And we just had a good time in the Lord, and asked the Lord's blessing before we went. And he watched over us and kept us and had a beautiful day. And just a great time. We're thankful for that. But we're thankful for another opportunity to be back in God's house. Amen. Another time to meet with our family. Amen. And just fellowship with one another. And I tell you what, when you're out of the house of God for some time, and it just feels like you need to get home. Amen. When I'm at work and I've been at work too long, I'm ready to get home. I don't know about you. I'm ready to go home. Amen. And that's what the house of God is to the children of God. This is kind of like our home until we move to our home that's being prepared. It's prepared for us and it's waiting until the Lord's ready for us to come on home. We're going. And turning your Bibles with us into 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to preach some this morning about the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord, it's coming, it's sure, it's going to be here, whether you're ready or not, it's going to come, and we trust that you're ready this morning, and there's a lot of information, there's a lot of disinformation about the day of the Lord. You know, some people say it's a pre-tribulation, some say it's mid-tribulation, and some say it's post-tribulation. Amen? I personally believe it's pre-trib, amen, and I take that stand. And if I'm wrong, it don't make no difference. It isn't going to stop the day of the Lord from coming, amen. And there's a lot of different interpretations. So if you question about what the Bible's talking about the day of the Lord, I got some information up here. There's 11 copies, including this one, laying here if you want to pick it up. There's some scripture references from a site that I found that I was doing some studying with, and had a lot of good scripture references there to use. But let me tell you this, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, the day of the Lord is coming, and the day of the Lord is going to be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day that you don't want to be in, be a part of without Jesus in your heart and in your life. It's going to be a day when you don't want to face the Lord, and you don't want to face the things that are going to happen because of what is going to happen. I'm going to just use a few verses for a springboard this morning. We're going to be preaching out of this whole chapter. But if you found 2 Peter chapter 3, would you stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word for a moment? And verse number 8, 2 Peter chapter number 3, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise," excuse me, "as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Verse number 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." I want to preach to you this morning on this thought and from this frame of mind, ready or not. Ready or not. You remember the old game you played hide and seek, and somebody was the seeker, and they had to go close their eyes somewhere and count 100 or whatever it was you all had determined. And they would get done counting, and they would say, "Ready or not, here I come. Amen. I want you to think on that this morning. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And ready or not, He's coming. Amen. Ready or not, in His Word, He tells us, here I come. Ready or not, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to extract judgment upon the unrighteous and the ungodly and those who have rejected me. You see, throughout the Bible, we learn and we are taught about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord has occurred in different times and in different time frames and different instances throughout history. And in the Bible, it shows us some of these times of the day of the Lord as they come and judgment is extracted upon those who have rejected and those who are contrary to what God's will is. But in the day and time in which Peter lived, there were those who would question in verse number 4 and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In verse 5 it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby, in verse number 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. In verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We got the same problem today that is persisted in mankind since the foundation of the world. People who did not believe the Word of God. People who would not accept the Word of God. And people who made light and made fun of the Word of God. Adam and Eve heard the Word of God as He told them not to partake of the fruit of the tree of life and the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, rather. And they chose in themselves not to hear the Word of God and to make their own choice, and it brought sudden and quick change in their lives. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And they died spiritually in that garden. They died spiritually before that tree which they partook of the fruit. They did not heed the Word of God, and the wrath of God, the judgment of God came down upon them. In the days of Noah, God sent this man Noah into the world to preach the gospel to a world that was perishing, a world that had been overcome by evil. God said the thoughts of man are evil continually. And He said, I need to do something. And He sent a preacher to preach unto them the Word of God. And Noah preached faithfully for 120 years the Word of God and the truth of God. He preached that the rain was going to fall from heaven, and yet these people that heard the preaching of the man of God as he spoke the Word of God, they rejected it. They made light of it. They made fun of it, and it came to their own destruction and their own perishing because of the judgment of God when the floods were poured out upon the world. Amen. Israel, time and time again, heard the Word of God. They heard the man of God preach and proclaim the truth that destruction was a-coming unless they repented. That destruction was coming unless they turned their ways around. And they refused to hear God. They refused to heed God. And God led them into destruction. God led them into judgment, as He said He was going to do. Throughout history, we find that Israel, as a nation, Israel, whether you're speaking of the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel and Judah separately or collectively, has faced the wrath and the judgment of God after he sent his preachers, his prophets, his teachers to tell them his will and his way and to help them find a way of help and a way of escape. Yet continually they rejected God and rejected his word. They were carried into captivity. The northern kingdom of Israel was decimated and dispersed completely. 10 of the 12 tribes were not because they rejected the truth of God's word. They rejected his man when he came to talk and to preach and to tell them what God had said. We see the kingdom of Judah following after the example of Israel, carried into captivity into Babylon. How we see the captivity that they found themselves in. And it's a result of refusing to repent and refusing to heed the word of God. They made light of it. They imprisoned the preachers of truth. And they placed his prophets in prison and in restriction. And they tried to hinder the preaching of the gospel to their own detriment, their own destruction as it came upon them because they said, well, God's never done this before, and why would he do it now? They said, well, we're Israel. We're the apple of God's eye. Why would he do it now? They begin to scoff. They begin to make fun of. They may begin to laugh at what God had said. And regardless of the scoffers, regardless of the denials, regardless of their self-imposed ignorance of what God said that he was going to do, God did it anyway. And ready or not, he showed up. Ready or not, every time that he said he was going to do something in a time frame, he fulfilled it and he did it. And ready or not, they found themselves in the state in which they were. The psalmist over in Psalm 119, verses 89 to 91 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. In Matthew 24, in verse number 35, Jesus said, my word is forever established. You know, we can question it. We got a society today that says science disproves the Word of God. Science does not disprove the Word of God. Science just goes to enhance, to reinforce, to undergird and to strengthen the truth of what God's Word has already said. God's Word already said it before science already revealed it most times. Amen. We got intellectual that say they don't want to hear the word of God. Their self-imposed ignorance. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. You know why they don't want to believe it? You know that why they don't want to hear it? You don't know. You know why they don't want to accept it? It's because it interferes with their lifestyles. It interferes with their choices and the things that they choose to do and they want to do. And they think that because they plead ignorance and because they act like it doesn't matter and it doesn't happen, it makes a difference. But friends, ready or not, believing or not, accepting or not, whether you want to allow it to work in your life or not, Jesus is going to do what he said in his word, according to his word. Amen? And not what you think, feel, or believe, but according to what he says. According to what thus saith the word of God. Surprise. It don't matter. Surprise. It don't change it. Surprise. It's still the truth. Whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. Whether you accept it or whether you don't accept it. It's still the truth. Amen? And you'll not stop. You'll not stop God from fulfilling His will and His way in your life. Because you scoff at it, because you reject it, because you even want to rewrite it and change. Man, we live in a time when they want to rewrite history. Amen. They're trying to rewrite our national history. Man, we got some ugly things in our national history. But man, we got some great things in our national history. We got some ugly things that are happening in America, and they would have you think and feel and believe that everything that's going on, everything that is godly is prohibitive. Everything that is godly is just going to hinder you. Everything that is godly is just contrary to what this nation thinks and believes. But there are some great things are going on in Burlington, North Carolina. They're probably in about their 10th or 11th week of a revival that just broke out down there, and they had to set the big tent up. It grew plumb out of a church. They've had about 5,000 every night showing up for revival. God is still moving. God is still working. God said He would still walk in our midst, and He would be in our hearts and in our lives if we would allow Him to come in. And I don't care. You don't hear about this on the news. I think Good Morning America or something did something about it last week because it's taken off so big. You don't hear about it in the mainstream media. Why? Because they want to act like it's not happening. But praise God, you can't stop God from doing what God does, no matter how much you want to, because He's still God. Amen. You can make fun of it. You can make light of it. You can joke about it. You can deny it. But you'll not stop it. Amen. The day of the Lord is sure. It's just as sure as the word that is prophesied. You know, every prophecy that was made in the Word of God up until the Lord coming to rapture His church out has been fulfilled. Everything that God said hundreds of years before it happened has happened. Amen? If you don't know that, in case you don't know that, let me tell you, it's a fact. History bears it out. 400 years before Cyrus even reigned over Persia, God told His people that He had a servant that by the name of Cyrus that was going to come, and He was going to take them out of bondage. Amen? 400 years before it ever happened, God said it was going to happen. And guess what happened? 400 years later, Cyrus showed up. Amen? Every prophecy that God's Word has made has been fulfilled just like God said it would be. And now we live in a modern day when preachers of righteousness, preachers of deliverance, preachers of hope are telling people to be saved, for the Lord is coming, just like they were in Peter's day. And people are scoffing at it and rejecting it. In verse 8 he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." God doesn't work on your time frame or my time frame. Amen. God works on God's time frame. Amen. God doesn't do things when you think, feel, or believe He should. God does things when He knows He should. Amen. That one day is with the Lord. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. You see, time to God is nothing. The only thing that is constrained by time is this world, this life, the universe in which we live. Well, what was Einstein's theory of relativity that proved out to be? It came down to time, space. Amen. When you figured out time and space, and you figured out that space just dwelt in time, and time in space, and he had this all figured out, and somehow, he said, everything becomes relative. You know what's relative? Is the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is going to be here. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering. Why do you think the Lord hasn't come yet? He's waiting for that last soul. Why do you think the Lord has delayed His coming? He's waiting for that last one. I don't know. That maybe this morning that last soul will get saved. Maybe this morning in that revival meeting down there in Burlington, North Carolina, some soul will walk the aisle and give their heart and life to Jesus. And God the Father will look at God the Son and say, go get your church and bring them out. For we're about to unleash unbelievable horrors upon the face of the earth. But for now, it's time to bring your bride home. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We can't predict it. We can't know when it's going to happen, but we do know it's going to happen. I believe personally it's going to happen in my lifetime. I think the signs of the times, the prophets have been fulfilled as far as I can tell, as far as I know. And, as far as I understand, we have all the books of the Bible that are written, but maybe we didn't. Maybe they missed one. Maybe there's one we don't know that tells us something else that we haven't heard yet. And God's going to go just a little longer than my lifetime. I don't know. But I don't know that. All I know is what I have. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to tell you there's some other gospel, there's another Joseph Smith or anything else. I'm just trying to tell you, it's going to be in God's time. And I'm preparing for it. I'm ready for it. Why? Because the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Amen. If you know the thieves are coming, you get ready. Amen. If you know the thieves are coming, thieves done been to my house. Amen. Man, I'm ready for him the next time. I'd have been ready for him that time if I'd have seen him. Amen. I had something for him, a little more than what he wanted. Amen. But the next time he comes, he snuck in and he snuck out and he carried some of my stuff off and I didn't have a clue who it was. I had a good idea. The investigating police officer said, I know it's him, I just can't. Just don't have a way to nail it down to prove it. Couldn't prove it. But you know what? Next time he comes, I've got cameras everywhere recording everything. Amen. And I got it. It's right there. And when the thief comes the next time, if I'm not at home, amen, I call Jen or Aaron up and say, come up here and download this mess. Amen. So I can show the police who came to my house and who stole my property. You see, I'm prepared. I wasn't prepared the first time. And he carried my stuff off. I wasn't prepared the first time and I took a loss. But the next time I'm prepared. Amen. The Bible says that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And people will be ready. People will be prepared. People will have given their heart and life to Jesus. People will be living for the Lord, looking for and hastening the great day of the Lord, as he says over there in Titus. And praise God, people will be expecting God to show up and God to come and God to take his church out and God to exact his justice upon this world for the sin that they have committed in rejecting him. And praise God, if you're ready, you don't have to worry about a thing. If you're prepared, it's not going to be that big a deal to you. But if you're here and you're without Jesus, it's going to overtake you. Ready or not, he might come before we get done this morning. Amen. But he might come when Tucker looks like a Smith brother on a cough drop box. The baby was just born a couple weeks ago. If you've never seen the Smith brothers cough drops, two old fellows with big old white beards. Amen. I don't know. But I believe he's coming any day now. I believe it could be any moment now. Because where is the promise? I like Brother Jeff Faggard. Where's the promise? It's right here. Right here. Where's the promise? It's right here. You go back into the prophets. Amen. Where's the promise? You go back into God's word and see what God has said and what God has pinned down. The promise is there. The promise is sure. And whether you believe it or not, he's coming, ready or not. Whether you're prepared when he comes in the day of the Lord, it matters not, because ready or not, here he comes. And Christian, whether you're living the life that you should live or not, it's not going to make, he's not going to wait for you to have time to put your church clothes on and get down and get on the church pew. You should be living your life, no matter where you are, as if you're on the church pew. Amen. Back over in our Sunday school lesson this morning, back over in 2 Peter, it says that there's a lot of people trying to fool everybody. Over in verse 13, chapter 2, it says, "For and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." Hypocrites. Folks that play church. Pretend that everything's all right. They want everybody to think everything's all right, but everything's not all right. Because their heart and life isn't centered on Jesus. Their heart and life hasn't been surrendered unto him. They haven't become his holy. And they want to cling to the world and cling to the church. They want to run and live in the riding of their lives, sporting themselves and deceiving themselves, and then come in and acting like everything's all right, trying to deceive the church. You might deceive the preacher, you might deceive the deacon, but you'll never deceive God. Amen. He knows all about you. The word is sure. The day of the Lord is sure. In the day of Christian living is sure. It's needed. It's important. Verse number 11, it says, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, I tell you, he gives us a clue here in the last part of the Bible, how we should be living. The Apostle Paul said over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ." That sums it up right there. For me to live is Christ. My life isn't to be lived for me. My life is to be lived for Christ. My life isn't to be lived to satisfy the desires of the flesh, but my life is to be lived to satisfy Christ. That's why we got so many wishy-washy Christians. Amen. They want to satisfy the flesh instead of satisfying Christ. He says, What manner of persons ought we to be? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What manner of persons ought we to be? In verse 12 it says we need to be expectant. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved with and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. What nevertheless we, according to the promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's people ought to live expectantly. You need to live your life like the Lord is coming in the next 50 seconds, in the next 30 seconds, in the next 15 seconds. You need to live your life as if the Lord is coming any moment. Because guess what? Any day now. Any day now. He's coming. Any moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the rapture could take place. Any moment, things could be changed. We need to live expectantly, trusting in Him to do what only He can do. In verses 14 to 16 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, how which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." What kind of persons ought we to be? In verse number 14 he says we ought to be diligent. Counting that the slackness of the Lord is salvation. We ought to be diligent in telling people about Jesus. We ought to be diligent in sharing the Word of God so souls are saved. And we don't have to see our friends and our families and our loved ones and our communities left behind. We need to be diligent living for Christ. We need to be living epistles known and read of all men. We need to be diligent. We need to be diligent telling people about Jesus Christ and how He died for their sins and how He wants to save all who will come unto Him. It's not His will that any should perish. Praise God. We need to be diligent to make sure that we get them all, because it's not His will that any should perish. Hallelujah. We need to be diligent. We need to be diligent in our worship. We need to be diligent in checking the way that we look and the way that we act and the way that we react and everything that we do. We need to be diligent in giving glory unto Him in our lives, because you're bought with the price. The Apostle Paul tells us over in Corinthians, you're bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you know, when you work, most of you work a job that pays you to do something. And they expect you to be somewhat diligent. Amen. Friday, I was real diligent. Amen. The big boss was there. Had a derailment. And I was real diligent because I wanted to get him out of there as quick as possible. Send him back up to Bug Steve. Amen. Amen. But they expect you to be diligent because they're paying. They're recompensing you. Jesus died and paid the ultimate price for you. And all He wants us to do is to be diligent, living for Him, working for Him, worshiping Him. Our lives ought to be about Him. Verse 17, it says, "Be therefore, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." We need to be wary. We need to be careful. Man, there's a lot of strange doctrine going on. Amen. There's a lot of false teaching going on. There's a lot of things that aren't right going on. There's a lot of cults and sects that are teaching things that are contrary. They use the Word of God. The devil knows how to use the Word of God. He knows how to twist it, to manipulate it, to make it say what he wants it to say. You need to be wary. You need to be aware. You need to be in the Word of God, studying what the Word of God. You need to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. People to say they don't have no need for the house of God are the most ignorant people in the Word of God that you'll find. Amen. They can't tell you why they believe what they believe. Amen. They can't tell you why they stand on biblical truths that are there, because they don't know. They only stand on them because somebody told them. Well, if I can tell you to stand on this and you don't know, you've not studied it, you're not come to learn about it. Amen. Some other individual can come up the road teaching some damnable heresy. Amen. And can tell you that that's wrong and show you that this is the right way, and you can believe them as well. Amen. It's important to be in the house of God. It's important to be under the teaching of the Word of God. It's important to be under the authority of a local assembly of believers. Amen. Amen. But you know why people don't want that? Because they want to do everything their own way. Amen. God's Word instructs us. God's Word instructed His people in the Old Testament of the responsibility of coming to the house of God to worship. God's Word instructs us in the New Testament of the importance of coming to the house of God for worship and the study of God's Word. Forsake not the assembling of thyselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as you see the day approaching. Amen. We need to be wary. We need to be careful. We need to be in the house of God as often as we can be there when the doors are open. I know you can't be there for every service, but praise God, I know if you wanted to be, most of the time you could be. Amen. Amen. We was talking yesterday. Brett said, yeah, I remember. I said, I like it when people tell me they're too busy. You're too busy. Well, Jesus wasn't too busy for you. Amen. You don't expect the deacons and the pastor to be too busy, do you? No. You don't expect the Sunday school teachers to be too busy not to show up when you bring your kids to Sunday school, do you? Or when you want to send your kids to Sunday school a lot of times. You want them to be there. You want them to be diligent. You want them to be there. And we need to be that way. And we need to be wary of those that tell us we don't need to be. We need to be wary of a spirit that tells us we don't need to be. We need to be wary of anything that keeps us and separates us from the house of God. We need to be careful. And that's what he said. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It's easy to get carried away. And don't think you're beyond getting carried away. And then lastly, in verse number 18, he says, in verse 11, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be? We ought to be growing. Amen? If you're not growing in your faith, if you're not growing in your knowledge of the Word of God, if you're not growing in your diligence to serving God and to the work of God, you got a problem. Amen? Verse number 11, he says, what manner of persons ought we to be? Verse 18, but grow in grace. Be diligent. Be careful. And be growing. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, are you growing? Are you still where you was when you got saved? Or are you growing? Or have you learned some more about God and the knowledge of the Word of God? Have you grown closer to God? Are you closer this week than you were last week? Are you strengthening His Word more this Sunday than you were last Sunday? Are you growing? Or are you stagnant? You know, the thing of it is, ready or not, one day somebody's going to ask you to give an answer for your faith. Can you do that? Can you tell somebody why you're a Christian? Can you tell somebody why you believe in Jesus? Can you tell somebody why you follow Jesus? Ready or not, one day a lost person is going to want to know how to be saved. You'd be amazed at how many Christians I have told me they wouldn't have a clue how to lead somebody to the Lord. Are you growing? Is ready or not? Ready or not, He's coming for a church. In Ecclesiastes, I think it is, it says, as a tree falls, so shall it be. If the Lord was to call you today and take you home today, is your life a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord? A life that has grown in His grace and in His knowledge? A life that's where He wants it to be? Because where you are, when He takes you home, is where you're going to be. It's not going to be what you were 20 years ago. What you were the moment you got saved. What you were when you was in this great revival meeting and God just really stirred your heart. It's going to be what you are right now today. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get us on.